Okay, let's dive in. We're looking at a really strange set of documents today. Fragments, really. Feels less like a standard historical record and more like, well, something you weren't supposed to see.
Exactly. Like raw intelligence notes or maybe, surveillance logs someone pieced together.
And they center on this figure in Manhattan, mid-60s, called the Milkman, which is unsettling right off the bat.
Deeply unsettling
Yeah.
because these fragments, they paint this picture of disappearances, a whole series of them, and they seem to point directly at this one guy.
So our mission here is to unpack these fragments. What are these bizarre details actually telling us? Because there are contradictions here, right? Things that don't quite line up.
Contradictions.
And the real mystery, reading between the lines of this file, isn't just who he was, but maybe what he was. Was he just this lone, terrifying figure exploiting the city's chaos?
Or, and this is where it gets really compelling, I think.
Yeah.
Was he connected, part of something bigger,
Mm-hmm.
maybe, some kind of covert operation? Given the era, the Cold War, it feels possible.
That's the tension, isn't it? Lone psycho versus systematic program. And these source fragments just fuel both sides. They don't give you an easy answer.
No, they really don't. The details are just weird. And how they fit or don't fit, that's where we need to dig. There are layers here.
Layers hiding behind the most ordinary thing imaginable. Because these files say he operated in Manhattan, 63, 64, roughly,
Right.
and his cover, selling milk door to door.
It just feels wrong, doesn't it? So mundane. But the documents stress his method was specific, very specific. He wouldn't just, ask if they wanted milk.
What did he do then?
When he knocked, he insisted, apparently. He would only ask to speak to the father figure of the house.
Okay, hold on. Only the father figure. That's
Right.
not random. That's targeting. That feels deliberate right from the start, not like any milkman I've ever heard of.
Exactly. That's the first big red flag in these notes. Why only the men? What was the criteria?
And it gets weirder. The files claim that after talking to these men, he didn't always just sell milk, though sometimes he did, apparently. He would somehow become best friends with them.
The best friends. That phrase just leaps out of the page. It's so incongruous. You read that in what seems like a police file or intel notes, and it sounds like a massive understatement or.
Or a euphemism. For what, though? Some kind of intense manipulation, psychological break-in?
Could be. Because the next piece of data in these files is stark. Specifically, in 1964, a pattern emerges. Over 72 men vanish.
72. That's staggering. In one part of Manhattan over about a year.
A huge number. And the files note the obvious, unavoidable connection of all these missing guys. They lived right in the area where this milkman was active.
The geographic link is tight. The timing fits.
So tight that the document literally says all the fingers would be pointed at the milkman. It wasn't just suspicion based on numbers either.
No, there were witnesses. The files mention witness accounts.
Chilling ones. Wives, apparently multiple wives, reported seeing this odd-looking man talking to their husbands. On the porch, at the door,
The day they disappeared.
the very day.
Yeah.
It fits the profile perfectly.
But then there's the kids' testimony. That part's maybe the strangest detail.
Yeah, the children's accounts mentioned in these fragments.
Yeah.
They said their fathers told them they were going out late at night,
Okay.
specifically to get milk.
To get milk. But wait, the kids also said?
They already had milk in the house, plenty
Yeah.
of it.
So why on earth go out late at night for milk you don't need? It makes zero logical sense.
Unless.
Unless the milk wasn't the point at all. Reading these files, that detail screams signal to me, like his earlier visit, the best friends thing. Maybe that set up a trigger. A prearranged meeting time and going for milk was the excuse or the code.
That feels much more plausible than a sudden, inexplicable late-night craving shared by dozens of men, right? It leans towards something coordinated, a plan.
It really does. That detail alone pushes me towards the program theory. It feels less like random madness.
Agreed. And the investigation, which clearly focused on the milkman because of all this, led to something, well, documented as a major discovery.
They found his place, an underground lair, like literally under the streets of Manhattan.
Not just a basement room, a constructed hideout. And the contents listed in the file. Just bizarre. First, a boxing ring.
A boxing ring. Okay, that's weird enough for a milkman.
But then the file adds, and I'm quoting loosely here, but that wasn't even the strangest part. There was an incinerator as
An
well.
incinerator. Wow. Okay, so underground lair, boxing ring, and an incinerator. That combination is horrifying.
And deeply confusing. What possible purpose could that combination serve for a lone milk salesman?
It immediately tells you this wasn't just a place to lie low. This was functional for something awful. And the confrontation when they found him in the lair.
Yeah, the documents describe that too. Police cornered him there.
And his reaction.
It's theatrical. Yeah. Almost unreal. The file says he gave an evil smirk and then quoted, the first rule about the Fight Club is that no one leaves the Fight Club.
That line. Near a boxing ring and an incinerator. That's not just a pop culture nod. That's a threat. A statement of fact in his reality.
And when they asked him directly, what about the missing men, the 72 fathers?
Did he confess? Did he deny it?
No denial. The file says he quickly pointed at the incinerator. Just pointed.
Oh, man.
And then added this post. I'm undefeated, baby.
Undefeated? What's that even mean? Undefeated in the ring. Undefeated in getting away with it. Until then, chilling.
Utterly chilling. And the file sums up the confrontation starkly. Says he started sprinting at the police and things didn't end well for the milkman that day. He was stopped.
But like you said, was it stopped? Does stopping him explain everything? 72 men? The specific targeting, the lair, that quote.
Exactly. That's the core question these fragments leave hanging. Because taking him out doesn't neatly tie up all these bizarre loose ends. And this is where the interpretation splits dramatically.
Right. Path one. He was a lone wolf. A uniquely terrifying one, but acting alone.
You could argue the evidence points that way, right? His odd-looking description might suggest a social outcast capable of extreme violence.
Yeah, and the door-to-door milkman cover. Simple enough for one person to manage, blend in, especially in a huge city like 1960s New York. Relatively anonymous.
And the targeting. Father figures.
Well,
maybe it was purely personal. Some deep-seated psychological fixation driving his victim selection. Not orders from above, just his own twisted criteria.
And in that view, the lair. The boxing ring, the incinerator, they're just the horrific tools of his trade. Maybe the ring was for some sick ritual, some personal test before the incinerator.
Mm-hmm. And his quotes, the Fight Club line, undefeated. Just the ravings of a deranged individual. Personal mantras, not operational codes.
And maybe, just maybe, 72 victims is possible for one extremely cunning, brutal, and methodical killer in that environment. It's a horrifyingly high number. But perhaps achievable if he operated smartly for that period.
And connecting it to the time, the Cold War? Maybe he wasn't part of anything, but he exploited the atmosphere, the paranoia, the distrust, the focus on external threats. We might have given him cover, made people less likely to notice or question strange disappearances initially.
So, a lone monster using the era's anxieties to mask his own horrors. That's one coherent, if terrifying, reading of these files.
It is. But then there's the other path, the alternative reading. Pulled from the exact same fragments.
Is that he wasn't alone at all. He was part of something organized, a covert program.
And the argument there starts with the scale. 72 plus men, the logistics of that abduction, potential holding, disposal for one person, without leaving more traces or triggering a massive manhunt sooner. It seems stretched.
It does stretch credulity. It suggests efficiency, maybe resources beyond one individual.
And the specific targeting. Father figures.
Mm-hmm.
Why? If it's a program, that sounds like selection criteria, where they recruits, targets for elimination, subjects for some kind of test. It implies they fit a profile important to some group.
Not just random victims of opportunity.
Exactly. And the lair itself, an underground constructed space with specialized equipment like a boxing ring and an incinerator, that suggests planning, funding, support, not something your average serial killer throws together.
No, that points to resources. Purpose built. Almost.
And then you reinterpret the quotes. The first rule about the Fight Club, I'm undefeated. Maybe that's not madness. Maybe that's jargon. Internal language.
Referring to what? Training, evaluation, elimination protocols. Was the ring a testing ground? Were the fights real and undefeated meant he successfully processed his targets according to the program's goals? Failure meaning the incinerator.
It puts a whole different spin on it. And revisit the going out for milk detail.
Right. If it's a program.
It's not a weird psychological quirk. It becomes a potential pickup signal, a prearranged extraction method triggered by the milkman's initial contact and Beth friend routine. The milk is irrelevant. The time and phrase are the activation.
Okay, so if you layer that theory onto the 1960s Cold War context, secrecy, experimentation, M-culture type stuff happening.
Exactly. Could this be tied to some unknown government or quasi-government project? Testing human limits. Eliminating perceived threats, fitting the father figure profile. Something even stranger we can't guess.
The era was certainly rife with covert actions and a high tolerance for secrecy, it provides a plausible backdrop, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And that's the frustration with these source fragments. They give you these stark, electrifying details, the milkman, the disappearances, the lair, the quotes, but they stop short of explaining the why. They leave the interpretation hanging.
And they're full of these contradictions that neither theory perfectly smooths over, like the mundane milk cover versus the extreme violence. How do those coexist?
And the best friends thing, followed by incineration. Was that just profoundly effective manipulation? Or was the phrase itself just bad intel, a misinterpretation in the file?
Why the weird milk excuse late at night if they were supposedly charmed into being best friends? Was there still coercion involved, a threat we don't see in the files? Or was it definitely a signal?
The boxing ring, is it a lone killer's ritual space? Or is it genuinely evidence of systematic evaluation? What does undefeated truly signify? His personal kill count or his success rate within a program's metric?
And the biggest one for me. How did it seemingly stop with just him? If 72 plus men vanished, tied to this operation, finding and stopping one guy feels insufficient if it was a larger program.
Exactly. Does his capture mean he really was the horrifyingly efficient lone actor?
Right.
Or does it mean the program simply sacrificed a field operative while the rest of the structure, the planners, the facilitators, remained untouched, undiscovered? Were there others not in that lair that day?
So the sources throw the story at you. The weird milkman, the disappearances, the lair, the capture. But they leave you stuck right there.
Stuck between the image of this single monstrous figure twisting the everyday into horror.
And the deeply unsettling possibility of a hidden systematic operation that used a milkman as its bizarre, terrifyingly effective interface with the world.
The fragments give us the puzzle pieces, but how they connect, the real picture. It's just speculation based on these limited, disturbing notes.
It really makes you think, doesn't it, about how easily the dangerous can hide behind the mundane, using something like milk delivery as the perfect, unassuming cover.
And if these files reflect something real, this scenario where scores of men just vanished, facilitated by this one figure, well, it forces you to ask, what else was going on?
What other programs, what other individuals might have been operating back then, completely unseen, using everyday life as camouflage?
And the final thought these fragments plan in your head, given how abruptly the milkman's story ends in the file, are we absolutely certain, with all the unanswered questions about scale and organization?
Yeah.
Are we sure it stopped?